So yeah, we had this crazy facility, and it was DJ Fantasy Camp for a week again.
And there was no one else was booked at the hotel, right? It was only there.
No, that was kind of our lesson from Vancouver, actually. We did the whole hotel in Vancouver, and we could make more noise. Well, we couldn't make as much noise as we made in Azerbaijan. So
no.
Same thing, four nights of programming at, sorry, I'm not going to say clubs because there were no clubs. So we built clubs everywhere we went in Azerbaijan, crazy. Except for the Baku Jazz Club was the first night. And then basically we were in like, I don't know, like flex spaces where we built a club or like
in the kind of in the restaurant
cafeteria
of the hotel. Yeah, right.
Yeah, the one was in a restaurant because we had a vision to do it outside by the beach that night, but the wind was like 35 miles an hour.
Oh yeah, that was crazy.
So we said no, that's not going to work, and basically bought out a restaurant the day of to make that happen.
Insane. And again, from my perspective, it's like we're in this hotel, Ramada Hotel. There's a pool, and there's just, you know, Qbert is literally walking down the hall, knocking on people's doors like, hey, you guys want to do like scratch session? And people are like,
Madfingers.
Are you Qbert? And like just hanging out till 7.
Madfingers from Belgium. He came down to breakfast and he was like, I never seen a grown man so excited, really. He was like bouncing around. His eyes were bugging out of his head. And he was like, yo, crazy story. I'm in my room practicing last night and I heard... open the door and it's Qbert. He said, yo, that sounds dope. Can I come in and check it out?
Yeah.
And Chris is like, yeah. This is like, I don't know, maybe 1 a.m. or something because he had turntables in his room.
Because it was a resort as well. So, yeah. And it's kind of, I'm going to say it's kind of dangerous to go and venture out by yourself, but we were also like.
Dangerous, you're just chicken.
Okay.
No, it's just far.
We were like an hour away from anything. So, you know, I don't know. I'm not Qbert, but maybe Qbert is like, okay, I'm stuck here. I might as well make the most of it.
If there's a, he'll sniff out a turntable.
He will, actually. He will.
He'll be like, oh, there's turntables.
You know,
and walks around cutting with his fingers all the time. But yeah, he knocks on Chris's door. Chris comes down to breakfast, and he's like, he's still in my room. Like, I'm just coming down to get food for us, and we're going to go cut some more.
Oh, man, that's amazing.
So yeah, that was the vibe. The
whole go downstairs, and breakfast was during a certain time. It was open. Everyone, there's nowhere else to eat. You go to the breakfast. Like
eat together, yeah, hang out.
That became DJ camp, and yeah. I think that, the Azerbaijan, the footage that got out of that with the pool.
Well, we had turntables set up poolside at 3 a.m. and chicken by the pool every night.
It was insane. I think that created, brought the competition, like DJ camp, to another level. It became more appealing. I know Craze got the super FOMO. Craze, yeah. Craze, like, I want to be a part of this, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, and.
Well, that's because you were, that was pre live stories. And pre-Snapchat even.
Yeah, like, it was.
Just before Snapchat. So but you were still using a lot of data, doing something.
I was doing, yeah, I was posting Instagram stuff, Instagram videos and everything, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, live leaks from the Chicken by the Pool resort. Yeah. And, yeah, every night we were up till the sun came up. And
yep. And
Jeff playing Z-Trips 45s.
It was crazy. And the panels as well with Invisible Scratch Pickles were there, and they that was crazy.
Shortcut brought the footage of Qbert in 89 when he had the mullet.
Yo, seeing Qbert, this footage of, I don't even know if it's on YouTube or anything, but yeah, seeing this footage of Qbert DJing when he was like, I don't know, he was like 17 or something.
12 teen.
It was crazy seeing it, and he was doing stuff now that still, he would probably win the three style now.
Oh, he wins.
Yeah, he wins. He wins everything.
Yeah.
So that was
land a UFO on the turntables in the middle of the set.
I mean, yeah, that he's from outer space, and he'll say it himself.
Yeah.
So Baku, and the winner is SK83.
Crazy, crazy final. We did this this venue. I can't even really give a context, but they hosted. Oh God, what's that American Idol version show of Europe?
Got Talent? No.
Eurovision.
Oh wow!
Eurovision song contest. So they built a massive 20,000 person theater for Eurovision, basically, and now it's the Baku Arena.
Crazy.
But it's a beautiful building, and there's a press center out behind it. And the press center held like 5,000 people. And we went and toured the place, and no one had ever done anything there since Eurovision.
Wow.
And it was this glass building on the ocean on a peninsula.
Amazing.
And we're like, we could turn that into a club. So we turned that into a club and opened the doors at 11, kind of wondering what's going to happen after this crazy week. And there were thousands of people outside. There's 4,200 people show up.
Crazy.
It looks like it was footloose. It was crazy.
Yeah,
they didn't see anything like that.
That was insane.
SK smashed the place.
Yep.
And yeah, then we had the, then we brought the whole sound system from the venue back to the pool for the next day. And that was the first ever like real Bastards barbecue, where we had the after party at the pool at the hotel
with the aprons,
not just with a couple of speakers on sticks, but like,
oh yeah,
we had the PA, we had brought all the lights,
crazy.
And there was 100 people and a 4,000 person PA and light show at the pool. We didn't invite anybody. We just did it for us.
Insane.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. All right. So we still have a few places to go.
Well, I don't even know what time it is.
It's, I mean, we can keep going.
We got, yeah, we got a bit of time. All right. Yeah. So then we did kind of the coin flip or the polar opposite. We went from Baku to Tokyo.
Wow. And did you already know it was going to be in Tokyo while you were in Japan?
Well, yeah, because I was in Japan.
Right.
Well, I was in Azerbaijan.
Oh, yes. No, I mean when you were in Azerbaijan.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, yeah. I got 1 foot in the now and 1 foot in the future. And there's a fence in between. I just try not to get caught on the top.
Was there a Japanese team at in Baku?
Yeah, Kyoto was there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Oh, yeah.
And Aichan, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So they came and checked it out, and we knew we were going there, and Kyoto was like, I got the craziest venue in Japan for this thing. Like, oh yeah, I've been in a crazy venue, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
No, dude, we're going to do the final at Agiha. Where do you see this place? Oh, yeah, okay, cool, whatever. I've been to Tokyo once before.
Yeah.
Go for the site visits immediately after kind of thing. And go see a bunch of clubs in Tokyo. And Tokyo does some clubs, but not a lot of real clubs. And right. Agiha is kind of like, out there. It's like an Abbotsford compared to Vancouver, right. Or like New Jersey compared to New York, you know. It's out there. Yeah. But this club is huge and it is special. It's like big stage, crazy tiered dance floor venue, holds 4,000 people.
Insane. And
I was like, you do have the club. Yeah. Cool. So yeah, we'll go back to Tokyo.
Oh, it was huge.
Big club.
I just transported myself back there. It was massive.
Crazy stage build again, all this stuff. But yeah, we went to Tokyo and basically holed up in Shibuya. And we had a really interesting opportunity that year where at that time, and still at this time, there's not a lot of great hotels in Tokyo. So we didn't really have the opportunity to do the fantasy camp at the hotel.
Yeah.
Because they're either too small or too big. Like restaurants in Tokyo. Like if you want to do dinner for 20 in Tokyo, good luck.
Right.
Restaurants hold 16 people. Right. Or their massive dining hall kind of things. Yeah. So, but Red Bull had just hosted the Red Bull Music Academy the year before, built a studio in Japan and a massive new office space with a lot of flex rooms in it. And we were fortunate, I guess, to capitalize on that and took over the studio and this whole fifth floor of the office building that was meeting rooms that we turned into bedroom studios, kind of like basically this size. And there were eight bedroom studios where you could go and hang out and work or practice or jam. And then we had a massive recording studio in the basement, and we recorded the Invisible Scratch Pickles record there during the year too, first ever full length.
Insane. We're talking about a full huge recording studio, like you record.
So I spent a week over there with D and Short and Q and Rue, the engineer from the studio. Yep. And listen to these guys make a full-length record all on turntables. Every single note, kick, sound on that is cut into that record.
Crazy.
And they had turntables set up in there for a week, and Q must have done, I don't know, 150 takes for four bars.
Oh, my God. I could break it down, like, I could break it down, like, whatever. I could break it down.
And come back in the studio and play the session and go, no. And Q's funny. He's like the most fascinating guy to watch because he moves his fingers to the sounds when he listens to it.
Oh,
like
right.
He's like a savant, right?
Oh, yeah, and he's like, that's insane.
And Rue, the studio engineer, is like, whoa. They all sound the same, but they're slightly different.
They're slightly different.
Q is such a perfectionist that... Yeah, it was a week of just fascinating building and watching these guys work was insanity.
Yeah, and again, it was week long.
So that part was April 2015, and then the finals were in September. So then the plan was to release the record shortly thereafter. So they performed the record live the headline performance, and check it out on YouTube or Facebook. It's got millions of views of one of the craziest DJ sessions.
Yeah, that's insane.
But that was the year our hombre, DJ Byte.
DJ Byte won with his horn. Hit me with the horns. He basically took the horns from It's Just Begun, Jimmy Castor, which is... and Tone played like five different melodies from splicing up those notes. It was,
and he did it on the Pioneer SP1.
That's right.
But that was in April. The Pioneer DJ guys, Junia and the team, came to the office when we were recording the ISP record and said, oh, were you... The year before, they said they were going to start working on a battle mixer for the first time because they hadn't made a battle mixer since the 909.
Oh, wow.
So they're like, yeah, we're going to start working on a battle mixer because we see this community freestyle really growing. And, you know, we think we could service it with an idea we have.
Yeah.
So then they brought the first one to the recording session of ISP.
S9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is April 15.
And
April 4. Yeah, 15. And we had to all sign NDAs and... We had to pull curtains around the room.
Wow.
The engineers from Pioneer came in Junia, and there was five of us in the room, and they unveiled this S9. It was like,
crazy.
Oh, wow, this might be crazy.
And shout out to SK, who had a part in designing it.
SK and Jeff, and yeah, there's a lot of our guys were a part of that whole thing. But yeah, seeing that thing for the first time was like, whoa. And then that was, we talked immediately after that meeting, like, okay, production date was November for that thing, and we were in September, and they moved an early production run to meet our September timeline. That's when we did the 40 DJ scratch circles to launch that piece.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's crazy.
A lot of things in the background.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so yeah, shout out Junia and Takako at the time from Pioneer, and Hideki, who really spearheaded that thing and moved it up in the production cycle to let this kooky idea happen. Like, okay, we're going to have 40 DJs play kind of together and write songs in the studio so we can clear it and do the routines. And
that was crazy. That's on YouTube as well, the 40 DJs in Tokyo. That was amazing.
So that was 2015, and it was a wild week. And then we again finished with the Bastards Barbecue. Jeff brought crazy 45s that year. That was the year Jeff... For years, he was like, no, I'm leaving on Sunday, man. I'm not staying, because if I touch those 45s, I'm an addict.
He caught the bug. He caught the bug in Baku, actually, because when he was playing Z-Trip's records, he was playing, like, Dance to the Drummer's Beat, and we all were like, do your routine from He's the DJ, I'm the Rapper. And he did. And he caught the bug, and he made a post, actually. He's like, I caught the bug from these guys. My wife's going to kill me.
And the next year, he showed up with, like, custom-cut joints.
Yeah.
Didn't he bought a cutter. He could press songs that he wanted.
I don't think he had bought it yet.
But he had pressed a few.
He pressed a few himself.
Handed out 45s to everybody. Oh, yeah, you don't have this because I pressed it.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
Yeah. So, yeah, that Bastards Barbecue was amazing in Tokyo. Shout out
Z-Trip smashed it, too. I remember Z-Trip played We Need a Resolution by Aaliyah and put the theme from Frozen on it. So it was like... And it was like, do you want to build a snowman? it was bananas. And I was kind of on the other side eating the barbecue. And I'm like, what the fuck is playing right now? On 45s? Like, at first I'm like, oh, that's cool, Z. I'm like, wait a minute, on 45? You are a maniac. Anyway, yeah. So... That was a good one. Rooftop, outdoors. So
that's our sixth final in Tokyo. Yep. Then we went, we kind of came back to the Americas, if you will, but went down to the bottom, went to Santiago, Chile.
Yeah.
And it was just that Byte, ironically, won because we were always working at least a year in the future. So we had the plan to go to Santiago, and then Byte wins. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
So, we go to Santiago, and the team down there, Ezekiel and the whole squad, had a really crazy ideas for that project to take it out of clubs and do something different for the final. And we went down there, and it was in December, but it was in the Southern Hemisphere, so it was summertime. It was warm. It was awesome.
Except everyone travels. It was like Christmas travel time, too. Which
December was tough, tough travels, but... so Santiago is...
Shout out Byte. Byte ended up... Byte was the host with me.
Yeah, so this is funny because in the year, I go down there four or five times. And I think it was like the fifth trip before the finals. And we'd been talking to a few hosts that are, you know, rappers or local guys. Didn't really get the concept because they hadn't really been that acclimated to the whole three-style thing. And Bite, this is funny because his first three-style experience was in 2011 when I taught him how to snowboard. And
in Vancouver.
Man didn't speak a word of English.
That's crazy.
But he learned English through three-style because he'd been around it for so long and been traveling the world and really through the community picked up English. And he had a residency at a casino-type venue down there. Big nightclubby casino thing. So yeah. He had to be on the mic quite a bit. And I was like, why are we chasing MCs? Why don't we just get Bite to host the thing with Flipout? And he can be the local guy. He knows the competition. He won the goddamn thing.
Yeah.
Kind of like, you knew it because you were in it.
Yeah.
And I go to Bite. It was actually at their national final. He randomly picked up the mic a few times during a set and kind of took over the hosting duties, and it worked. So I was like, after that, yo, you're hosting with Flipout. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was easy. And in the year, like earlier in the year, we went on the European tour on the bus, and me and him were roommates. So we we were already friends. We were like
roommates on
the bus. Roommates on the bus. Stacked up.
Everybody's a roommate on the bus. Yeah, there's 14 roommates on the bus.
Whenever we had to check into a hotel, we got shacked up together. Anyway, so that's cool. I want to give a shout out to the other host though, to 8-Man.
Oh, sorry, in Japan. Yeah,
in Japan.
Yeah.
And homie in Baku, the rapper, I forget his name. Yeah. Shout out.
Yeah. We'll come back to that.
He was super dope.
Yeah. Samori.
Yes, that's what it was.
So Chile, 7th final.
Yep.
The team down there really pushed to have this idea to take it out of the club, and we did the final outdoors.
Crazy.
At a velodrome, kind of like festival style.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was a crazy week. Again, 4 nights, hotel takeover at this crazy, funky,
cool workshops and some games as well. I think Serato put out a game using Flip.
Yeah, Serato Flip, and Pioneer did the Tarais thing with the team challenge with the Tarais, Dave Smith sampler that they made.
Yep.
So that was fun. Lots of stuff during the days. Crazy 4 nights.
A pool no one went in.
Well, a pool is the size of your coffee cup, though. So
that Mixmaster Mike was there that year.
This is crazy. So this hotel, this is everything in Chile, in Latin America is slower than you think and not quite as contractually obligated as you think. So we thought we had the whole hotel, and we had the whole hotel except for the ballroom.
Right.
And every night in the ballroom, they had like a high school grad or a wedding, and we'd get back from the club at like 3:30 in the morning, and reggaeton would be just because reggaeton's everywhere. Every night, just people partying in this ballroom. And Mike went and crashed the high school dance, and Mike DJed the high school dance. Mixmaster Mike DJing your high school dance at 3:30 in the morning in Santiago.
And he knew what he was doing. He wanted to go down there. He was like, he had to ask the dad. I think the dad was like, crazy. Who the fuck are these people? And then I think a couple of people were like, that's Mixmaster Mike. Like, what is he doing here? And okay, let him DJ. And there was like 10 people there.
It was the stragglers. It was ending. Yeah. And Mike went and DJed the high school dance after the after party.
Yeah.
That's year seven.
And year seven and DJ Puffy.
DJ Puffy came in and smashed it, doing Soca dub plates that he was... It's crazy, because that real dub plate community is... The whole dub plate community is nuts, but he wins his Wednesday night qualifier in the finals on Saturday, and basically spent Thursday and Friday on the phone and on the internet, like, yo, I'm in the final, I need some heat.
Right.
And he was doing his sound check, moving around the stems to finish the dub plates at the finals venue sound check.
Right.
During sound check, like, to make the dub plate edits that he got the vocals for.
Yeah.
On the spot. It was nuts.
It's crazy. And that's indicative to what it takes, or what kind of mentality you really want to have if you want to win a world competition or something. Yeah, you know what I mean? You're like, you do everything you can to...
I don't know.
To seize the moment.
And there's no formula.
Yeah, there's not.
I kind of wish there was, but I'm glad there isn't. because it allows for these unique things to happen. And Puffy had a moment in these 15 minutes and controlled the crowd and did enough technically to impress the people that all they need is technicality, which they need to go out more because,
right,
goddamn, like, the last thing you need is a technical DJ on a Saturday night in a club.
Yeah.
You need someone that can understand what's happening. Puffy kind of did a bit of everything and really smashed it that year. And then we had another barbecue on a rooftop in Santiago.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
Newmark brought flexi discs.
I almost didn't remember. And a tiny little...
Oh, yeah. Like, that thing was, I don't know. Like,
he brought a 3-inch record. It was weird.
Yeah. So, yeah, everybody smashed again. Z-Trip played crazy, crazy 45 set. Was that counting thing that he had?
Yeah, man, it was insane. Yeah. It was insane.
So, yeah, then...
So, Puffy, yeah, Puffy won that year using just...
all kinds of different tunes and different sounds we probably hadn't heard in the project before, like playing soca. Not a lot of people had played soca.
Yeah.
And he's not like he's a soca DJ, but he's from those islands that soca's big, and he played soca, he played hip-hop, he played everything. He went all over the map and smashed. JFB played a crazy set. Beast Mode played a crazy set. Yep. Yuki played a crazy set. Like, everybody smashed that day. It was a great event. Again, I'm not a judge, so I can't care who wins.
Yuki did the most the most, I don't know how to describe
bringing
it.
Bringing 88 back.
His tone play was like epic.
The 88 shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. He like just every rap song from 88 with, what, I can't remember what horns, but it was.
No, it was Michael Jackson's voice.
That's what it was, yeah.
And he did every melody. He literally did about 10.
Bring an 88 back. Bring an 88 back.
It was crazy.
It was like, whoa, rapid fire. Yeah.
It's like, no one ever touched that sound ever again.
No, that's fine. The buttons were blown off by the time he was done. It was crazy.
Amazing. Yeah. It was crazy.
So, yeah. And I guess that fast forwards us to.
Last week.
Oh, my God. Last week. It feels like.
Last week in Krakow,
it feels like
Poland.
Yesterday, and it feels like a lifetime ago.
It does. Well, we just went through a time machine just now.
Yeah. Krakow, Poland, and a really, really special time there. We, how long were we there? 9 nights? Something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
I guess the only thing we added this year was an off day on the second day. So we always do a draw the first night you get there, or second night you get there, first night just kind of get there. Then we do the draw. So this is one thing I don't know if everyone knows about Three Style, is everybody who's in it goes into kind of like a FIFA draw or a World Cup draw, where all their names are, you know, in a hat. And the names come out, and it's Flip Out from Canada. And you go up to a big tournament board, and it has the whole week laid out there of what nights are the clubs are and who's headlining. But who's competing isn't filled out. And the contestants fill that out themselves. So they go up and hang their flag on, all right, Tuesday night, spot 2. And the next person gets drawn, and eventually this 24 spots get filled in for the 4 nights times 6 DJs. And that presents the week. So that's the first night. And then typically the next day is an event day. And it's...
Right, it just begins.
Like, bah! This year, for a lot of reasons, we pushed the final to Sunday, and that allowed us an off day on Tuesday. Sure, everyone could have flown in Tuesday, but we really saw this as an opportunity to build on that camaraderie and community.
Yep.
And also to something very important to DJing, I think you need to take time to see where you go. Everyone tours and you land and you go to the hotel and you check your email and whatever. You have a nap. You maybe go out for dinner with the promoter. You go to the club and then you fuck off.
Yeah.
It's Matt, on the production side, you know, Matt and I joked after touring, I don't know, 30 countries or something. We're like, man, we went all the way around the world and saw nothing. Because, you know, so there's places where you go for 12 hours and you leave a country. But at a world final, there's an opportunity to really take in some of the cultures and some of the things that have nothing to do with the club and nothing to do with DJing. Yeah. So the local team was like, wow, just down the road is an area, the Polish mountains called Zakopane. And Polish culture really lives there. It's folk dancing and folk music and
ski
performances
jumping.
And ski jumping, and it's athletics and it's outdoors and it's like hunter culture and all kinds of stuff. So we went down to this mountain town in the middle of nowhere.
It's like a 3-hour drive from where we were.
Three-hour tour. Polish Gilligan's Island? Is that what Zakopane is? Yeah, so we went down to Zakopane. And again, a lot of people hadn't seen snow. Yep. We went 5,004 or whatever it was, 3,800 meters into the sky on a gondola.
Two gondolas.
Yeah, to the top of this mountain peak that was gnarly. I was like, yo, I want my snowboard. There's 40 centimeters of fresh. I was snapping. Yeah. Like, what am I doing watching this? It was the worst for me. But yeah, we went up and checked that. And then we went out and did a horse and sleigh ride around the mountains.
It's all in the same night.
Yeah, and had like a barbecue cookout thing over open fire, and really had that camaraderie chance to not be pounded by music in a club and not be in this intense competitive vibe. Because the hotel, it's a vibe, and it's people are hanging out, but there's also competition, and there's practice room, and the stress of I want to nail my set to the perfectionist, elitist way. So that one day was a really special thing this year. And then, of course, four nights of events, battle party, whatever.
Right. And the bus ride, and like a 3-hour bus ride with, you know, you could talk to your neighbor and like you're on the bus. You can
or pass out and get woke up by me.
That's true, too.
Get chop suey'd.
Wake up. That was... yeah, don't
check Instagram.
Yeah. Don't fall asleep around Kenny Mac. And don't leave the party early either, because you'll...
Well, I left the party early on Sunday.
Well, you were still there. You just checked out while you were there.
Yeah.
I physically didn't leave. Yeah, so Krakow, Poland, the week long. There's another kind of competition with a record box that turned into another 40 DJ cypher.
Well, it wasn't really a competition. It was a vibe.
It was a vibe, yeah.
It was more of a collective. Not a competition. Yeah. So we had a... again, with Pioneer DJ, our great partners... They just released the new XP1 controller, which is 16 pads on each side, and you can really go nuts with it, with that new kind of key shift and key cue points where you can really almost, you can do beats, you can do tone, I don't know what they're not called tone plays anymore, they're almost like
you're just playing
full synth routines, you can program it however you want.
Yeah,
so again, it's creativity, let it go and see where it can get to. Again, another week in Krakow, crazy final. I guess another funny story similar to the Azerbaijan hotel. We go into the Julia Slovaki Theater.
Yeah.
We'd seen some venues, whatever. This venue is technically a bit smaller than our last few venues, but it is beautiful. The architecture is crazy.
It's insane.
The venue is like three stories of balconies, and there's this slanted seating going down to the stage. And this is kind of like an opera house type theater. And I say to the guy, okay, well, these seats, can they come out? And he's like, well, actually, we have a floor plan that the seats come out, and then we have these metal trusses that basically level the grade all the way to the stage. Like, oh, cool. He goes, it takes like a day to do and a day to put back in. So it goes from a one-day rental to a three-day rental.
Right.
It's like, okay, cool. One other question. Can we have drinks in here? Or is it like one of these theaters and like the Queenie or something where you can have a drink in the lobby and then you gotta put your drink down and go back in and watch the show? And he's like, no. I'm like, well, can we build a bar right here in the back of the theater? Yeah, sure. Again, it was like the same as back. Wow. Sign the contract, I don't care. It's like, I don't care what the price is, let's do this. We'll figure it out on the back end. But the venue was nuts, and they were super great to work with, allowed us to do all kinds of stuff in there, and really put DJing on the stage it needs, I think.
Yeah, no doubt. And
Damianito,
new world champion from Italy.
Yeah,
we met him a couple of years ago at the Italian final in Milan.
Yep.
And Delta won for Italy, but then Damianito came to Chile to check it out. So yep. He was there.
He again, crazy night. It's hard to, you look back at these things, you remember moments, you remember all of it. It's like this flooded timeline in your head.
Yeah.
Everyone smashed, Cross did some crazy things from Belgium. Watch out for Cross. He's in it to win it on all levels right now. Damianito had a bit of a struggle with some really innovative things he was trying to do on his qualifier night. And
which he didn't advance to. He was a wild card.
He was a wild card. He kind of squeaked it in there to make the final. We always have a couple wild cards. Yeah. And yeah, at the end, I know from talking to the judges it was very tight between a few of them. And Dominito squeaked over the top based on originality and all the things that they're looking for in our judging panel. It's going to be a crazy year for him, I think. He actually played a talk box.
Yeah, he rocked a talk box using the headphone.
Yeah, you can't use a mic, so he's like, okay, cool, I'll plug my headphone into the mic pickup.
I guess that's one really big rule for the freestyle. There's no mic.
No, man. It's not the best hype man contest. And there's a difference. Like, DJing with a mic is critical to certain things, yep, but not to this.
No.
You're not the best hype man, and you need to be able to do those things with your hands, or you're very creatively. Abstract did it a couple of years ago with the beatbox thing through his headphones in Netherlands.
Yeah, that was cool.
And it's in the rules, and the rules are not that strict and tight. There's a certain framework to basically not turn it into a full band on stage.
Right.
But within that context, do whatever you want.
Yep.
And be as creative as you want, and bring in a talk box and playing it through the MIDI pads was crazy, and doing it on beat and in key live while doing some cuts and everything.
Yeah, it was dope.
It was really dope. There was more to it than that. He played some dub plates, yep, cross played some crazy dub plates.
It was a crazy final, and that theater, it was amazing. So I mean
then we had after party was out of control.
After party was on a boat.
No, after party.
The after party was at Prozac.
Whew.
Which was two floors, and I don't know whose idea it was, but the
shout out
Kenny Mack thought, you know, instead of having just all the the DJs, like some of the champs and the judges play, like just play a regular set, like everyone just pick a genre, and everyone will just do a specific genre, like whatever you want to do. So
after 7 nights of open format, yeah, multi-genre madness, it was
Broken down.
Total relief, I guess.
Yeah.
To
so it was broken down into, I'm going to say the ones that I can remember. Craze, drum and bass set. And he brought his mixer into the club. You have to swap out the mix. Like, it has to be dead air for like 5 seconds. Craze did drum and bass set. I did New Jack Swing.
Jeff did house.
Bastard
did disco.
Keep going.
Nina Las Vegas did bifunk.
Nina
started with bifunk, and then it turned into a back-to-back set with Puffy, and it was just kind of like...
It's like island stuff.
It was vibes. Just thick vibes.
So that way, it's kind of a dope idea. I think you might be onto something else, too, with the, like, when there's multiple DJs on a night,
at that point, it needs a bit of structure.
Yeah. Because
the past after parties have been, like, turned into more three-style sets, and again, yeah, that, going back to 2011 or 2010 in France, it's like, whoa, there's no format in the night, and everyone here wants to take it to that tier zero level of technicality and yeah, song selection, all that. It's a bit overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was a bit of sonic
release
space, which was dope. People can still do whatever they wanted, all the crazy cuts and stuff, yep, but it just added a little bit of more flow after a week of really intense multi-genre stuff. And then, yeah, that was after party part one. And then we had a after party part two, Bastards Barbecue on a
Which
boat.
Was the next day.
Yeah. That's our 45s thing. But this year there was like 200 DJs from all over the world, from Kansas to Kazakhstan. Like,
yep.
Steppa T flew from Kazakhstan to check this thing out.
Shout out Steppa T. King and Steppa.
There's DJs from all over the world that have flown in, and the boat, it's a boat. Like, party prisons only hold so many people. So the boat, we were like, oh man, all these people are here and they want to stay for the after party or the Bastards Barbecue. So on Saturday or Sunday morning, we had a bit of a production meeting that was like, okay, what do we do? Because we can't fit everybody on the boat.
Oh yeah, Newmark was Middle Eastern Breaks.
Oh yeah.
That was, woo! Hey.
Yeah, yeah, crazy.
And Bite. And
I wasn't there for Bite. I was still at the venue.
I think Bite played Latin music, probably.
Yeah.
Okay, go on. So we have the boat, the party prison, so not enough
people can fit on the boat. So on Sunday morning, Paulina from our team also manages artist bookings at a club called Spitana One, and it's a great little spot. It's got a void system, crazy techno stuff there most of the time.
It's a cave. It's an underground cave.
Looks like a cave. Oh, and okay, so after party part three was Bass's barbecue. So it went 4 to 10 on the boat, then 10 to 4 at the club.
Yep.
And I made the first couple hours, but I missed, unfortunately, my man Ernesto Shaoud,
yeah,
from Lebanon, playing the rarest of the rare records,
playing garage, playing just like foot stomping stuff, funk,
soul records from Ethiopia. Check out his compilation on BBE. It came out on the 16th, called Taitu, named after the hotel he stayed in when he went on this digging trip.
It's amazing. And anytime you see a YouTube video of him, just go click on it. There's a bunch of videos that we need to really put up.
Oh, yeah.
from he did like an impromptu listening session in the practice room in Krakow at like 6 a.m, where he was playing like a few of his records. There's like 10 people in the room. He played a record, and then he take it off. He's like, come hear the rest of it at Bastard's Barbecue. So the funny thing is he's selling it to the people in the room, but they're already invited, and there are no tickets.
Yeah, that's
so he's such a character. I got to go digging with him. Actually, I got a couple records.
Oh, dope.
That I went with him and Newmark to a couple of stores and seeing him haggle. Anyway, shout out Ernesto. I'm going to play a couple songs in a little bit.
I'll tell you a quick Ernesto story, though. Just, if you ever get a chance to go to Beirut, take your ass to Beirut.
Shout out DJ Beats. Yeah. Shout out DJ Beats as well.
And Sam, my dude, on the street there. So I get to Beirut. I've never been there before. And on the Friday night, he's like, oh, we'll go to this place, Bunker, on Mar Mikhail. Mar Mikhail is kind of like a big street with tons of clubs. It's like Granville Street, but cool. like bars.
For real.
It's just bars. People are like hanging out in the street, and it's... I walk by the one place, and it's like, what's that fucking Proclaimer shit? Like,
oh, 300 miles.
Yeah, whatever that song is. I hate that song.
Yep.
That's playing. I walk to the next venue, walking by, and it's like Jonas Vorn, like techno. What the fuck? This is crazy. They're right side by each. There's people hanging out, drinking beers, and like, oh, we're going to this place called Bunker. And it's down this alleyway, and kind of back around in the basement, and it's an old bunker from the war. And it looks like somebody's basement from a high school party. And I'd never met Ernesto. I don't know him from Adam. And I walk in, and it's like 11 o'clock, doors open kind of time. Walk in. I'm like, this guy's playing like garage records, like garage rock records from I don't know where. But I know the soundscape, but I don't know. I've never heard the record. And shout out Scott, who plays a lot of these kind of records.
Yep.
Vinyl Richie. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I get a beer, and he kind of comes over, and we get introduced. And we're just hanging out for a little bit. He's like, yeah, this place doesn't really get going till later on. It's called the Beirut Groove Collective All Nighter. All 45s been going for 6 years.
Wow.
And it's not fun and cool 45s like Michael Jackson. It's cool 45s, but it's not like, hey, like soft listening. It's shit you've never heard in your life.
Yeah.
We go to a bunch of other clubs. We come back about 3:30. It's jammed. This was one of the last few weeks you could smoke in the venue. It's like smoke haze. People got their shirts off going nuts to Ethiopian soul records from 1965 on a Friday night at 3:30 in the morning till the sun came up. And I was like, I've seen a lot of stuff, like go to ADE every year with Alvy and go on the techno front and get deep on that stuff. And I love that scene too. That was so special, man, playing 45s that no one knew a goddamn singer, a song, a sample, nothing.
Nope.
Going ham to the noises and the vibes that this dude created. So no technical DJing whatsoever. Pull up, sing. Listen to this motherfucker, because this record will change your life.
Yeah, he's on the mic. Yeah.
But a lot higher voice.
Yeah.
Two copies on this motherfucker, I have the boat!
That was a really good impression of Ernesto. And
so go to Beirut.
Like, you messaged me.
I messaged everybody.
You're like, yo, I found the guy, it's 45. And in my mind, I thought, oh, you're at like a restaurant where a dude has like a very eclectic collection and he's playing whatever. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. And there's no, it's hard to describe the vibe that he has. Something really special, because I wasn't skeptical, but I was just like, oh, I can't wait to check it out. And even watching like the videos when I wasn't in the practice room, he was just playing little snippets of it, and like there's literally six people in the room, and the camera kind of panned like away from him, and people were dancing in the room. Like, it's something. His selection is crazy.
Here's the selection's one thing, but maybe this is kind of like old guy advice. The one thing I will say about Ernesto is he believes so much in the records that he's playing to the audience,
right?
that energy transmits.
That's true.
And at the end of the day, if you don't believe in the records you're playing, don't fucking play those records.
True.
Full stop.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's the best thing that could happen to DJing and to club DJing and to anything is if you don't believe in those records, don't play them. And if find another gig or at the end, sure, or just don't bitch then. Just go make your rent money gig and play. I like Drake, so don't say Drake, but
yeah,
a lot of people ask for Drake. But if you find a chance to play those records that you believe in, go at that, man, and go at that with everything you got, because that's what DJing is at the end of the day, is break me some sounds.
Yeah. So you can either be like, oh, that guy, you know, that DJ sucks because they aren't technical. I don't know why everyone likes them, and people like them because of they're bringing the music, they're expressing, they believe in the music they're playing. So maybe, you know, that's not for you. You like someone that's technical, so you will listen to someone like that. Then you have these people that are both, and that's when you get, like, you know, people like Puffy and, you know, Shortcut and stuff like that, where they're technically incredible and sound, and then they also believe in the music they play. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's a heightened to a level that
that's
like the top tier. But at the end of the day, man, if everybody just played only records they believed in, I think the vibe would be the best.
It would actually.
Why don't you play in some of your Poland records that you believe in that you bought?
Oh, okay, I will.
Transition time. We're out of time, I think.
A little bit. Yep.
I'm not, but I think we are.
No, we are. We are here. Kenny Mack Truck, thanks for coming through.
Thanks for having. This will be funny to listen to later.
It will. We should have made. I should have gave you a little more, a little more heads up on some of the facts. Shout out to Crafty Cuts as well, who was in Baku, man.
Yeah, man. We could do we could do 2 hours of shout outs. Yeah, we could. If you would have given me a brief as to what we were going to talk about today.
I know. I thought we were just going to kind of go through the winners and talk about what they're.
Glad you knew that, because I didn't know shit. You want to go down to Save On at 10 a.m.? Yeah, cool.
And we didn't even talk about food. That's another one.
Snap.
Another one. So on the last after the last day in Krakow of the official events, which was the barbecue, most people flew out that morning or even the next day. I stayed an extra day, and Newmark was still there, and Ernesto was still there.
I was still there too.
A lot of other people. No, there's
Hurt Locker.
Kenny was in 24-hour sleep mode.
Yeah,
he was sick. So we went out. We went out. I went out digging with them. Well, record shopping. We didn't actually go digging. We went to two record shops with Ernesto and Newmark. And
you went to Paul's Boutique.
Paul's Boutique.
Record Dillas.
And Record Dillas. Those two only. So Paul's Boutique, there was just a random guy there. The owner wasn't there, so Ernesto was kind of giving him a hard time. We left there pretty quick. Went to Record Dillas, and the owner was there. And, you know, Ernesto and Newmark were just like asking, like, where's the Polish funk? Where's the Polish jazz? And then they started pulling out these other Polish funk records, and one record got pulled out, and Newmark's like, yo, I sampled this, like, this is da 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 da, and he's like, I thought it was a Russian record. He thought it was Russian because he bought it from a Russian guy. So he has it on there, and Ernesto, anytime Newmark said like he had it or he liked it, Ernesto's like, I'll take that one. And he had like a pile of records. So there's, I, you know, I collect 45s only for the last like 5 years, but I bought two LPs because Newmark was there and Ernesto was there, and there was another copy of them, so I bought, and it was like 10 zloty.
$3.
And Newmark's like, I paid $90 for this record. I got it for $3, so I'm going to play that one.
Shout out Poland for, like, if you want to go somewhere for a good value for dollar and a good vibe, Poland's your spot. Like, $10 buys you a sick dinner. Beer at a club's $3.
Yeah. So I'm going to put these two records on. You can close it off. Kenny Mack.
I'll just keep talking while you go find your records. Both of your records. You're going to dig deep in the bag for this? Well, thanks for listening to us yammer for a little while on things. Phil's going to play 12 inches, which I haven't seen in 12 years. What do you have?
You can try to pronounce it.
Nope, but I can try. Nope. Arek, help. Ella, help.
All right.
I can say it's Karate Breakout because it says that on the, what would all be right, the 45.
So this is some Polish funk. courtesy of Newmark. He sampled it for a beat. The beat hasn't been used yet. I'm not going to tell you what the name of the thing is. I'm just going to play it.
We'll be right back. tylko w tobie mogę, rzeko dawnych dni. Tylko w twojej wodzie mogę ból zmyć z moich rąk, rzeko dzieciństwa. Gdzie ta woda czysta, która koi ból? Tylko twoją wodą z moich rąk zmyć mogę ból, rzeko dzieciństwa. Las nad tobą szumiał, ale ścięli go. Las nad tobą szumiał, twoją wodą boił się, rzeko dzieciństwa. Gdzie ta woda czysta, która koi ból? Daj mi twoją wodą z oczu moich spłukać łzy, rzeko dzieciństwa. Oh,
Yo, y'all, check it out. What's good? This is Ray right here from the Mighty Wu Ice H2O team. You know what it is, doing it big with my brother DJ Flip Out. Hold the fort down, kid. 100.
Yeah, there's something about you. Beautiful, I just want you to know, you're my favorite girl. Beautiful, I just want you to know, you're my favorite girl.
Beautiful.
I know you gon' lose it, this new Snoop. Come on, baby boo, you got to get into it. Gon' fool with the player with the cool wit. Yeah, yeah, you know I'm always on that cool. Walk to it, do it how you do it. Have a glass, let me put you in the mood. It look cute, it looking like a student. Long hair with your big fat booty. Back in the days, you was the girl I went to school with. Had to tell your moms and sisters to cool it. The girl wanna do it, I just might do it. Hit her off with some pimp fluid. Mommy, don't worry, I won't abuse it. Hurry up and finish so you can watch Clueless. I laugh at these people when they ask who do this, but everybody know who girl that you is.
Beautiful.
When I see my baby boo, I get foolish. Smack a that tries to pursue it. Homeboy, she taking, just move it. I asked you nicely, don't make the dog lose it. We just blow dro and keep the flow moving. In a 6'4", me and baby boo cruising. Body ragging, teary, get blueing. Had him hydraulic squeaking when we screwing. Now she's yelling, hollering out, snooping. Hooting, hollering, hollering, hooting. Black and beautiful, you the one I'm choosing. Hair long and black and curly like a Cuban. Keep grooving, that's what we doing. And we gon' be together until your mom's moving.
Yeah, there's something about you. Beautiful, I just want.